From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The long Walmart juggernaut may finally be hitting a wall called Amazon. Amazon's sales, stock, online ambitions, exploding. Walmart sales, stock, new store openings, profits, all flat or down. It is still massive, but retail is changing and fast. Walmart is racing to catch up, just as Amazon opens its first physical store. Up next on Point, just in time for Christmas shopping, Amazon and Walmart duking it out for the future of retailing. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Who wins this one? Amazon? Walmart? The first one to deliver by drone? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. News out from Walmart, middle of last month, not so good, and their stock way down. Amazon's way up. And at a meeting for Walmart investors last month, Walmart CEO Doug McMillon spoke about the future of the company.
Retail history is very clear. Those that are unwilling or unable to change go away. Those that get ahead of the curve will thrive. That's why we're taking decisive steps now to change and grow our business.
Will it work? Can they catch up and prevail as they prevailed with superstores in the physical world? With us today from New York, Sarah Nassauer. She writes about retailing for the Wall Street Journal with a special focus on big box stores and Walmart. Sarah Nassauer, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And from Washington, Sarah Halzack joins us, national retail reporter for The Washington Post, with a focus on innovation in retail, and with that, a lot of Amazon coverage. Sarah Halzack, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Tom. Happy to be here.
And of course, as always with you guys, Sarah Halzack of The Washington Post, we have to say your newspaper is owned by Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon.
Indeed.
Duly noted, and we'll no doubt note it again. Sarah Nassauer at the Wall Street Journal, take us back to this big announcement from Walmart in the middle of this month. Their stock just plunged after all kinds of fairly dreary news came out. What was the sort of parade of horribles that they put in front of analysts?
Well, they surprised analysts by saying that next fiscal year, 2017, that earnings per share profits could be down as much as 12%. And they said that has a lot to do with the investments they're making in minimum wages for their employees, as well as $2 billion that they're going to invest in e-commerce growth this year and next year.
So they've raised minimum wages, what is it, to $9 now, and it's going to $10 for Walmart employees?
Yeah, $9 now and $10 next February, so in a few months.
And take us through some of those numbers. For example, new store openings. I read somewhere, I mean, I think last year they opened 300 or 400, and this year, next year, 100 and some?
Yeah, they're definitely pulling back in a visible way. Yeah, 100 and some. It was 300 or so last year. Both the smaller format stores that they have called neighborhood markets, as well as super centers, the big super centers. And instead, they're focusing on growing in other ways.
Now, the analyst could look at that and say, hey, Walmart is really kicking into gear here on the online front. The future looks rosy. But that's not how things went. Their stock is down 30% this year, and it fell again in October.
That's right. And they really, you know, they had been sort of hinting for months, you know, please, please, pretty please, give us the same benefit of the doubt that you do Amazon, basically, right? They haven't been a huge profit center. They're starting to sort of turn over another leaf with that. But they're investing a lot in innovation, and investors have been excited about that, and their stock has grown. Their market capitalization is now more than Walmart's.
And their stock up 80% this year.
Exactly. And Walmart's hoping that the investment community gives them the same kind of pass or credit. So far, that hasn't been the case.
Sarah Halzack, very different expectations. Amazon has never been about profit. They've been about sort of eating the retail world to an outside eye. But last month, they had a $79 million profit in the third quarter, and up their stock went again another 11%.
That's right. And that's not the first time recently they've turned a profit. They've done that several times in the last eight quarters. And it seems to suggest that maybe the energy is turning there, that they have really started to figure out all these investments that they've made in fulfillment centers and other technology that gets packages to you quickly. They've started to figure out a bit how to run a healthy business with all those things in play. It also should be mentioned that Amazon has this Amazon Web Services division. It's a cloud computing platform. platform, and that has been a really profit-rich vein for them. That is a business that pulled in, I think, $2 billion in sales last quarter, but made $521 million in profit. Now, compare that to the North America retail sales segment. That had $15 billion in sales and made about the same profit. So you can see how powerful that AWS is to Amazon's broader health as a company.
That cloud computing service. Sarah Halzack, at the end of the day, unless you're an investor, stock prices can be pretty boring stuff. But what this is really about is how Americans are going to shop and buy and provision their lives. I mean, this looks like the sort of epic battle of old brick-and-mortar powerhouse versus first-mover Amazon on a huge scale in the digital realm, and where we go with retailing. Does it not, Sarah Halzack?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think that's why you see each of these retailers, the line is really blurring between online and physical, because they know they have to meet customers' expectations in both of those channels. That's why you see Walmart investing in e-commerce programs like grocery pickup, where you buy your groceries online but pick them up curbside at a Walmart store. And that's why you see Amazon now getting into this physical retailing space, seeing if they might be able to connect with customers in a different way there. Because while sure, online shopping is seeing explosive growth, it is only about 8% of total retail sales. 92% of our shopping still happens in stores. And Amazon has to be curious about that and wanting to see whether they can play in that space.
Why are they opening their first brick and mortar store, I guess not far from their headquarters out in the Seattle area, this week? It's a bookstore. For heaven's sakes, they put zillions of bookstores out of business, brick and mortar bookstores. Why would Amazon want one? It's not that big. I don't know what's exactly special about it. The fact that it exists is special or weird. Why is Amazon doing that?
It sure does have a feel of irony to it, doesn't it? Given that they were so instrumental in putting some brick and mortars out of business.
And some? Certainly have, some?
Yes. Many, and have created some serious headwinds for Barnes & Noble as well, right? Mm-hmm. But I think what they're trying to do here is connect with customers in a different way. We've seen some other pure play e-commerce retailers do this, ones who are much tinier fish in the pond than Amazon. But Bonobos, Rent the Runway, Bauble Bar, Harry's, these are all companies that started online and then realized, hey, there's actually a real branding and marketing value to being on an urban high street next to other brands that these shoppers know and love, and to being able to have a customer service person talk to them about the products and sort of lure them into and excite them about the brand. And perhaps that's what's going on with Amazon here. Perhaps they think that there's a vast swath of shoppers that they're still not reaching online, even though their online audience is huge, and that they might be able to connect with them and introduce them to the Amazon brand and ultimately lure them online and into their broader ecosystem.
Sir Nassauer, take us deeper into the concerns about Walmart. It's funny to have a wrinkled brow about a company that's doing something like $1 billion in sales every day. I mean, it is so huge. At the same time, their online sales are exploding, and online they've got something like 7 million products for sale. Amazon has something like 300 million products for sale. When analysts look at Walmart, do they think, oh yeah, they've got the deep pockets, they've got the money, they've got the experience in retailing, they can come into digital and win? Or is there the stock price looks like a real note of skepticism on that front?
For sure, there is a note of skepticism. You said, Tom, I think at the beginning of the hour, you know, could Walmart at this point overtake Amazon or truly compete with them? And I think they could. The question is, will they? Because there's a lot of culture, you know, within this, as you said, huge behemoth retailer that was built on supercenters, basically, that is geared towards supporting that network. A lot of employees, it's a company that's very has a deep culture around those things. And they've had a website. Walmart.com has existed since 1999, 16 years. So it's not as if they haven't had a go at this, but there hasn't historically been sort of the executive support of that part of the business that's out there in San Bruno, California, as opposed to Bentonville, Arkansas. And so I think really on some core level, the question is, will they sort of have the, you know, bureaucratic will to support Walmart.com, e-commerce, pick up all of these efforts in a way that makes them successful.
What are the stakes here? Do all those super centers become roller rinks, or is everybody assuming that they go on? I mean, the centers themselves, they've admitted lately a lot of them have gotten run down, kind of grubby, haven't not exactly sparkling. Some are sparkling, but Lord knows I've been in some that look like sort of an old filling station inside.
The Walmart CEO said, U.S. CEO said during that investor meeting that you've talked about, only a couple hundred stores are really terrific out of 4,600, about 4,600. So there's still a long way to go to making those super centers and Walmart brick-and-mortar stores what they want them to be.
But what's the ultimate game here? Do they have to have that continuing giant growth to stay healthy, to stay alive? Could Amazon knock them out of the ring somehow?
Jeff Bezos'
ambition seems limitless.
We're not there yet. You know, they still have almost half a trillion dollars in revenue. And Amazon has, 90 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're not there yet. But, yeah, they're seeing where does future, the Walmart CEO is looking at growth. Where does future growth come from? Not just, let's sustain these super centers forever. And they're definitely investing in e-commerce. They're trying to figure out a way to use their stores to beat Amazon with these pickup sites.
And we'll talk about the pickup sites, but also just the way all of this is integrated into our lives. I mean, Sarah Halzack, now Amazon's looking at something, kind of a version of Uber called Flex, where you order something and people will show up at your door in some cities within an hour or two, sort of like Uber drivers, and drop off what you've just purchased. I mean, this really does get into the fabric of how we live, and in a consumer society, how we live, Sarah Halzack.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I think that that's a crucial question here generally, is that Amazon has been investing so much in speed with the Flex offering that you just described, where a network of on-demand drivers would theoretically bring you your packages rapidly, and also with just general same-day and one-hour delivery efforts. We're not sure yet whether that's something consumers really want, and we're not sure yet it's something Amazon can do particularly profitably. So that remains to be seen.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Amazon versus Walmart. Battle of the retail titans. One born online. One born in superstores. Now Walmart's trying to go big and digital. It is hard. But Americans' tastes in retail, buying, and shopping are all over the place at the same time, changing in many directions. Amazon this week opening its first brick-and-mortar store. What's up with that? Sarah Nassauer is with us with The Wall Street Journal, covers retail, consumer trends there, a lot of focus on Walmart, close to others, Costco and dollar stores and more. Sarah Halzack is with us from The Washington Post, national retail reporter there, looks at innovation and retail, a lot of Amazon. Bear in mind, The Washington Post is now owned by Amazon founder CEO Jeff Bezos, duly noted. You can join us. What do you think? Can Walmart take on Amazon in online sales and win? Can it retool for the digital age and stay dominant? Who's got your business? Amazon, Walmart? If you're ordering online, who would you trust for price, for delivery, speed? Are you watching Walmart struggle with a certain glee? Did they put you out of business years ago? Middle of last month, the CEO having to come out and say, we're going to have some rough numbers next year. And the markets responded in a hurry. Here was the CEO of Walmart, Doug McMillon, saying that Walmart's taking steps to compete online.
We've also been building an e-commerce business. We've been hiring top technology talent in Silicon Valley and around the world, refreshing the customer experience and becoming a true internet technology company. We're now one of the top three online retailers by traffic, and our Walmart US app is among the top three apps in retail, with tens of millions of customers downloading it and using it regularly.
On the move there, they've got a big operation in Silicon Valley. We'll talk about that. And they're saying, and Sarah Halzack, I'm going to put this to you, but here's the CEO again, Doug McMillon of Walmart, saying, who's going to be better positioned to win in the digital age? We've got all these stores. Those are bases of operation for us. But they've got one within, 5 miles of 70% of the U.S. population. Here's McMillon again. And he doesn't name Amazon, but you can hear the comparison in this question he put to the audience.
Here's a key question. Will it be easier for an e-commerce company to build out a massive store network and create a customer service culture at scale? Or are we better able to add digital and supply chain capabilities and leverage our existing stores?
Sarah Halzack, Jeff Bezos owns you, but nevertheless, what's the answer to that question? Amazon's been building out like crazy. Walmart's been building like crazy for years. They've got a lot of infrastructure. Who's better positioned to deliver on whatever it is that Americans want when they buy?
That's a really tough question, and I think there's a few different ways you could look at it. I mean, as you said, Walmart has locations within 5 miles of 70% of the U.S. population, 4,600 stores.
It's mind-blowing.
That is... It is. And it's very powerful. And if they can get their supply chain working properly, the speed that could be unlocked by that would be quite impressive. However, if you think about it, stores aren't especially well laid out for picking and packing, right? So if you're going to unlock your store as a distribution center for online orders, mm-hmm. that literally means a store employee is walking the store floor with a shopping cart, just like you are, picking and packing orders, or perhaps picking them from a back room.
And is that the idea here? I mean, we've done more than one show on Amazon's giant warehouses with their super sophisticated robots, and people
right.
sort of run to death in there. But Walmart's
right.
looking at their stores as potential warehouses. You order something, the nearest store, they send a Walmart associate down the aisle to actually pick up the soap and put it in an envelope?
Theoretically, or again, it might be that they have it in their back room within the store mm-hmm. as opposed to on the store floor. But either way, it's using a store which has been designed for the traditional age-old business of retailing mm-hmm. and transforming it to work for online orders. And then as you said, Amazon has these robots like the size of an African elephant that are picking and packing their orders and doing it with, algorithm-based and making it, incredibly efficient and speedy. And it wouldn't be practical to put that kind of technology in an actual store, right? So it's interesting. Walmart has so many points to distribute merchandise from, and that is incredibly powerful. And yet Amazon's facilities are and always have been designed explicitly for this purpose. So you can see how each has some advantages and disadvantages there.
Sir Nassauer, how does it look to you? I'm a little afraid of going into a Walmart superstore that's being made over to be a fulfillment center for online orders, and I'm in there trying to buy Cracker Jacks, and we've got front-end loaders and elephant-sized robots running around. Or
might get hit by an elephant truck.
Yeah. Are these stores white elephants, or are they an asset here?
I think that Walmart is trying to make them an asset in the sense that one thing they're doing right now behind the scenes is as they're working on making stores, better, shelves stocked, they're shrinking their inventory right now. They're trying to get better about inventory, making sure they don't lose product, basically, in the back. They account for all product. And they're sort of quietly clearing out space in the back. That's one of the goals, is clearing out some space in the back that hypothetically could be used to create some kind of, e-commerce specific space in the back of each store.
Shrinking inventory, though, that means less variety of product on the shelves. So are they going to have what I order?
No, not necessarily.
Oh.
It means, buying less at a time from a supplier. So, instead of you buying 3 million
okay.
boxes of Oreos, you buy 2 million mm-hmm. and sell them and don't buy more until you sell them again.
Mm-hmm. Even more just-in-time kind of delivery to the retail store.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the delivery? And is Walmart counting on pickup? Like I'll order online and then pick up at a superstore? Is that part of their idea?
Yeah, exactly. That you order online and you either go into the store and pick it up, something that some consumers have found pretty cumbersome, and so they're trying to make it less so. Or you order online and you wait in your car in the parking lot and someone brings it to you. And they're now offering that service at more and more stores, which they say is really appealing to, moms with kids in the car seat in the back, that kind of thing.
Like a drive-through sort of to get your order or park. And here's a little exchange. This is the CEO again, Doug McMillon of Walmart, talking with Jim Cramer, CNBC's Mad Money. On that same day that Walmart came out with the numbers that got the market all upset, stock price down 10% that day. But Cramer was skeptical about Walmart's e-commerce delivery strategy.
I don't want to have to go pick up my goods at Walmart. I want them delivered to me cheaply by Amazon Prime.
We've been doing grocery home delivery in the UK for 15 years. In the UK, the market went from stores to delivery and then back to pickup. Customers actually love pickup, but it can't be hard. You can't park in a Walmart parking lot, go to the back of the store. What we're doing now...
I want the guy to come to my car, my friend.
Yeah, so you pull into the parking spot. That's what we're doing now in Denver, and we've started to ramp.
Is it working?
It's working, and customers love it.
Well, maybe, but believe us, it's all going to change. Of course, Amazon looking at drones, Google looking at drones, Walmart with its own outdoor drone tests. So maybe That's going to be the answer here. There's so much change in the retailing landscape right now. Sarah, please stand by. A lot of listeners here. Lewis, Delaware. Mike is calling. Mike, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I had a recent customer experience with Walmart that I thought might be pertinent.
Okay.
I ordered an over-the-counter pharmaceutical product, about $110. I selected Walmart because it had the biggest name, the different suppliers.
Yeah.
I waited. I got an email from them saying the product was being sent and the delivery order number. I waited about a month, and it never arrived. I called back. I couldn't speak to anybody. I got to leave a message. Nobody responded to my call. I went online. They wanted me to sign up for a Walmart blog of some sort. I didn't want to do that. I kept going back online and leaving messages on their online customer support. And it was pretty clear that everything they were trying to do was to sell me more product online and not to respond to the need that I had, which was a missing item. The only response I got was, your product has been mailed using an undetermined delivery method. So I didn't know what that was.
Okay. Mule train on the way somewhere. I mean, nobody's perfect every time, but Sarah Nassar, you cover Walmart. What do you hear in that experience from Mike?
I think Walmart is behind Amazon when it comes to these types of things. They just, their website is not as sophisticated. Their whole technology infrastructure behind this interaction is not as sophisticated. Amazon is incredibly sophisticated about this. But that's where the $2 billion are going.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Sarah Halzik, you did a kind of test where you ordered a handful of things from Amazon, Walmart, and Jet, this new one that's drawing on local stores for fulfillment. What did you find?
Yeah, so that was interesting. I placed the exact same order with the three retailers within about a half an hour of each other.
And what did you order?
And so I tried to order a couple everyday items, some, I believe, AAA batteries and a bottle of Advil, and then just to see how they would do with something that probably wasn't one of their most popular items, mm-hmm. I also threw in a basketball.
Okay.
So what I found was Jet was the clear winner on price, interestingly. But in terms of fulfillment, Amazon certainly got it to me the fastest and in the most problem-free manner. Walmart's came more quickly than Jet's. But when I got it, my basketball was deflated. Now, if I had had an air pump, that would have been okay. But what if I'd been planning to give that to someone as a gift? A little disappointing, mm-hmm. right? So it maybe suggests it wasn't packed properly or wasn't perhaps stored in the most efficient way before it was sent to me in the first place.
And Jet, they've been hot lately. What, this is an outfit that's sewing together a network of retail stores independent of the company, I guess, who they would send orders to and they would ship it to people nearby. Is that the idea?
So Jet has been generating a lot of hype this year as one of the first real serious potential threats to Amazon. They're one of the most well-funded startups in history. And the original premise of their model was this. You would pay a $50 membership to be able to shop on their site, much like you would at Costco or Sam's Club, for example.
Yep.
And then the prices that you would pay would be based on the total number of items in your basket. So your unique order would have an individual real-time developed price based on how expensive it was going to be to get those items to you. And they've only been in full launch for about 12, 13 weeks now, and they've already had to pull back on the membership piece. So they took that away, and now anyone can shop on the site. And that's not a good sign for Jet because that suggests they weren't getting enough people to sign up. They weren't convincing enough people of the value proposition. And now they also don't have – they've lost one of the main things that kind of differentiated them from Amazon to begin with.
But lots of players here, just a sign that there may be more ferment to come, people trying out new models. I want to welcome into our conversation from Charlotte, North Carolina, Sucharita Malparu. She's e-business retail analyst at Forrester Research, has been paying attention to all of this. Sucharita, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
So does everybody win here? Does there have to be a winner? Who's better positioned to dominate as things get digital, more deeply digital?
Well, I think that there isn't any question that Amazon has a significant advantage digitally, not only in the fact that their developers are some of the best in the world, but Amazon also gets a bit of a free pass from Wall Street. So they can continue to deliver negative margins or very low margins. Yes, they did get $79 million in profit last quarter, mm-hmm. but that is still an incredibly anemic percent of their revenue. It's not even 1%. Amazon is less profitable than Walmart, less profitable than Costco. If Walmart had the luxury of being less profitable, they may be in a position to compete better. But unfortunately, they don't get that same free pass. So Amazon is definitely advantaged here.
So you've got investor expectations. What about evolving American consumer expectations when it comes to shopping and retail? Where are they headed that's driving the urgency in this? And how far along are we in that curve of change, Sucharita?
Well, it's all very closely intertwined. Amazon is incredibly customer-centric, but they also have the luxury of spending down all of their profit. And they have these really rich profit pools like Amazon Web Services, their marketplace business, a few others, their advertising business. And they use a lot of the profits from those business to fuel a fabulous customer experience. And what that does is that sets the bar really, really high for everyone else. And other companies that don't have the same profit pools are forced to figure out ways to deliver the same Amazon customer experience without having the luxury of the same ways to find ways to fund that.
But now you've just got changes coming. I mean, Facebook is going to have a shopping feature soon. Lots of Americans still go to stores, but many others just, it seems like they're doing everything on their computer, on their phone. Amazon talking about even drones and Flex bringing this right to your door in a hurry. This idea of sort of instant gratification, delivery, the works, is that a realm in which Walmart's instincts will help it or not, Sucharita?
So what you've described are, you know, some of these technology changes. So the increasing usage of mobile phones to complete the shopping experience, these new delivery methods. When we ask consumers, why do you still purchase in stores, if you are in fact still purchasing in stores, of which most people still do, a large part of the reason is that consumers want to touch and feel merchandise, not to mention that a significant portion of people actually like shopping. So going to the physical store isn't seen as a really onerous thing. Mm-hmm. So yes, there are going to be, you know, some migration to the mobile phone. There may be new forms of delivery. I am not bullish on drones, by the way. I think that there are a lot of things about drones that people haven't fully thought through. But the truth is that the physical store still has advantages that the online store does not. And there are certain types of categories where the online store is very well suited. And the businesses that have gone out of business, like music stores, for instance, have proven that there are some places where online makes a lot of sense. But there are places like in the grocery sector where physical stores are doing fine. And the online sector is going to be challenged to figure out a way to make a dent there.
I guess what strikes people here is that these are two companies whose ambitions have been so outsized, so seemingly infinite. And Walmart certainly put whole oceans of people out of business. Jeff Bezos, he's willing to go without profit. That seems to suggest that he wants it all, that somewhere in his gun sights is Walmart.
Well, it is not a secret that that Amazon has ambitions to be at least a $200 billion company, that their former employees, current employees, that will corroborate that. And that would be one of the largest. It's already one of the largest retailers in the world, but it would be second behind Walmart if it achieves that. So, yes, there's no question that they have ambitions to be even bigger than what they are now. I would argue, though, that technology is part of it, but a large part of it is also having great product that people are comfortable buying. And that's where you do hear rumors of things like Amazon getting into the private label of fashion merchandise to try to tackle the apparel sector. You have the investments in Amazon Fresh, which is their grocery play. So yes, there are definitely innovations that are happening, not just on the technology side, but also on the product side as well.
Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Talking this hour about a battle of the retail titans, Amazon versus Walmart. One born online, Amazon. One born in superstores, Walmart. Now Walmart's trying to go big and digital, and that is hard. Comes down to a lot of tough corporate brinksmanship here, breakthroughs, and also the way Americans, who are very focused in many, many quarters on consumption, consume. The way they shop and buy, see what's out there, decide where to get it, how they want it delivered, how to make all of those choices. Sarah Nassau is with us from the Wall Street Journal. Sarah Halzack from the Washington Post, of course, owned by Jeff Bezos now, the CEO of Amazon. Sucharita Malparu is with us from Forrester Research. They pay attention to all of this. You can join us. What do you think? What is retail shopping going to become? Apps following us like personal shoppers, drones dropping what you want within minutes. Who, what, wins in this battle? Monique writes to us, looks like from Texas here, says, this move away from human-to-human interaction is disconcerting. I prefer to get out of the bubble and shop in a real store. Interestingly, that's where Amazon has gone this week, and I want to think a little bit more about why they've done that. After competing with and effectively shutting down so many brick-and-mortar bookstores, they just opened one of their own, not that big, 5,000-7,000 square feet, not far from the headquarters. The opening of that Amazon Books at University Village in Seattle on Tuesday, VP of Amazon Books, Jennifer Cast, responded to people observing there's some irony in Amazon opening a physical bookstore.
We don't think there's anything ironic about it. We think that this is yet another way to bring great books to people and help them discover books they'll love.
Nothing ironic here. If your bookstore was effectively closed down by Amazon, don't see irony. But in fact, Jeff Bezos has been thinking about it out loud for some time. Now, here's a little bit from a 2012 interview with Charlie Rose. He said he'd like to open brick-and-mortar stores, but the company was searching for ways to innovate in that area. Here's Bezos.
If 100 companies are doing something, and you're the 101st, you're not really bringing any value to society. And typically, by the way, the business results aren't very good for something like that anyway, either. What we want to do is we want to do something that's uniquely Amazon. And if we can find that idea, and we haven't found it yet, but if we can find that idea, we would love to open physical stores.
Sarah Halzack, why is Amazon opening a bookstore? Is this just a novelty to be near the home base, or is there something else afoot here?
I think it's a way of exploring whether they can use this as a way to lure more customers into Amazon's broader ecosystem. I think there are a lot of connections to Amazon's website built into this store, right? So, for example, on the placards below the book saying the price and the title, there are bits of customer reviews from Amazon's own website. And the books are organized within the store by their star rating on Amazon. There will be an end cap display that says 4.8 stars or higher. So they're clearly trying to use this store for anyone who sets foot in it as a way to kind of connect them to the Amazon online brand and perhaps encourage them to check that out.
Sucharita, where does this go? Do you expect these to be peppered across the country soon, or is this a one novelty thing?
Well, I think it's a little too early to tell because this is just the first one and it's only 5,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is that there is a trend, a larger trend in retail, and we call it in the retail industry, it's the investment that's happening in omni-channel. And what that means is it's the interplay between online and offline and how one channel can drive sales in the other channel. And I think that, you know, Amazon sees itself as uniquely qualified to be able to deliver an omni-channel experience that nobody else can. And a large part of it has to do with the mobile phone in your hand that you take with you when you walk into a store. And likely the consumer that walks in is going to have the Amazon app, and that is going to enable Amazon to have a tremendous amount of data about the customer, about where they're walking in the store, what they're looking at, and ultimately if they decide to purchase a product either in the store or on Amazon.com. And that's something that very few other retailers can do.
Omni-channel, Amazon Prime customers, what they're giving them video dramas now, right, that Amazon is making. Talk about trying to get mind space. Jim in Omaha, Nebraska. Jim, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
The comment was made earlier that the look of many Walmart stores is kind of deteriorating, and I don't think that really matters at all. I think it all comes down to price. If a Walmart customer could get something cheaper at Walmart than they can at Amazon, they're going to go to Walmart.
I mean, you may be right, Jim, but I've been in some where it would just things were so dingy that, yeah, I've gone for the price, but you leave thinking, oh, boy, they could use a little sprucing up. I mean, it does have some influence, doesn't it, Jim?
I honestly think it doesn't. I think price is really all that matters to most people.
Sarah Nassar, what about that? Can Walmart duke it out on the basis of price long term?
I think that they plan to continue to try to. I think, though, it's an interesting point, Jim. It's a question I think it's been being debated right now. I would argue, though, some of this, the idea of a store being dingy, part of the problem at Walmart hasn't just been sort of like messy, you know, old stores. It's out of stocks, messy inventory. And if there's not a product on the shelf, you're not going to buy it. So, you know, their sort of store problems go beyond just looking dingy or messy.
I mean, I also have seen their top executives saying that they want to go after middle and upper income shoppers, which doesn't sound to me necessarily like a bedrock commitment to lowest prices, Sarah. Why are they making that assertion that that's their growth target?
It's a good question. I mean, if you look at Target, Costco, Amazon, online shopping, a lot those three, you know, retailers attract higher income folks than Walmart. Walmart's customers sort of fall in line with the American population, and Target, Costco, online shopping skews higher income. That's where a lot of the economic growth is happening right now. So I think Walmart notices that and starts saying, we're going to have more organic food, we're going to have more this, we're going to focus on online shopping as a way to attract those folks. But they are definitely, at least verbally, very committed to having the lowest price. And Doug McMillon, the CEO, said at this investor day, yes, we're investing in stores and wages and e-commerce, but next year we're going to invest in price, which did, you know, send some shudders through other retailers that were thinking, well, that means we're going to have to do the same. That means taking lower margins and offering lower prices.
Sucharita, what about the price competition with Amazon now? Is it a slam dunk for Walmart that they've got them beat or not?
Oh, no, not at all. And in fact, there's just so much competition online, you know, like Jet.com and so many other startups that are investing heavily, heavily in price. And I think that that is fundamentally the overall challenge in the retail sector, particularly for anybody selling mass goods, is that prices are cheaper than ever. And the experience is better than ever. So that means that as consumers, you're winning. I mean, in fact, over the last 40 years, there has been significant deflation in everything from food to apparel shopping. But what that means is that it is really, really hard to continue to make money as a retailer, regardless of whether you're Amazon or Walmart.
David in Madison, Wisconsin. David, thank you for calling. You're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
You know, I'm watching this with a delicious sense of comeuppance for Walmart. You know, I've seen them bulldoze mom-and-pop businesses. I've seen them dump their employees on taxpayer-supported health care programs. And, you know, they support right-wing conservatives. I wonder if Walmart has a business model problem or a corporate citizen problem.
And what? Just explain why. I understand the political and the personal problems embedded in each thing you've said, but how would those add up to a business model problem in your mind, David?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's so much a business model problem. People are sick of Walmart. You know, they're such a bad actor in corporate America, and they take advantage of their employees. This latest minimum wage thing is a craven act, really. I think, you know, it's nice for people to get a minimum wage, but that isn't even a really good minimum wage. I think Walmart has been a bad operator, and people are finally realizing it.
Sarah Nassar, what about a PR angle to this? And I don't mean that dismissively. People have watched Walmart have a big impact on the economy for many years. Of course, David's right that we've read the stories over the years of Walmart employees who are also on welfare and essentially subsidized by the public. Is there a public pushback somewhere embedded here?
I think there's a legitimate brand problem that they have faced in some areas. I think, I don't think that's the prime problem that we're talking about here today. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's why, you know, growth in supercenters is slowing. But I think that there's a brand problem that could be addressed in some quarters. It's something they've talked about. And and they are talking about it. If you've noticed, there are they're running television ads promoting their wage increase, which I would argue is pretty significant because it did sort of force other folks to follow suit, and there's a lot of wage movement happening right now. But they definitely are using that as PR because they're running ads about it.
David in Aiken, South Carolina. David, you're on the air.
I agree with your previous caller. I mean, the Walmart just disgusts me. The only time I ever go to that place is when there's nothing else that I can get anywhere else. That they're my last alternative.
Why?
Yeah, because you know, I don't like the feel of the place. The shopping experience there is bad. I don't like the way they do treat other people. And I don't consider any of the merchandise that they sell to be anywhere near in the mid to high range of the what I'm going to be shopping for.
So that's
when I shop,
mm-hmm.
I shop for merchandise that doesn't even come close to coming up to Walmart when I do a Google search for any of it.
So I'm guessing you're an Amazon Prime member or something.
Yeah, I am an Amazon Prime member, but I also do eBaying. I do a lot. In fact, I get most, if not all, of the shopping that I do other than groceries and oil and oil filters and stuff like that.
Yep.
For my car.
Yep.
From Amazon or other retailers on the internet.
David in Aiken, the new consumer man there. David, thanks for your call. One more right here. Cindy in Franklin, Tennessee. Cindy, you're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I've been a Walmart shopper for 15-plus years, initially because I was a struggling parent like anybody else.
Yep.
Now I would be considered affluent. I've been using their online shipping for 5 years. And there's two things why I like Walmart online shipping.
Okay.
When I order something on Walmart, and I do pick up in the stores, because then I know I don't have to pay any shipping, which that is a plus for me. And then second, let's say I order an item and I get it and I just don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I can immediately return it to a store and get it off my mental plate. Whereas sometimes when I order things from other online stores, you get it. It doesn't fit. It's not right.
You got to pack it back up. It's a hassle.
You got the package sitting in the seat of your car for like weeks because you just don't get around to shipping it back.
Yeah.
So that's why I like Walmart. And what some of your other callers said is I do go for price. Even still today, I shop based on price, and Walmart has great prices.
It's funny. David's disgusted. You're not. You're a loyalist, Cindy. What do you think makes the difference?
Probably maybe because I do appreciate what Walmart does. They have 4,000 plus stores. They employ millions of Americans. And, you know, I would rather have an American employed making minimum wage than an unemployed American. And I'm pro anybody. Now, Amazon's doing the same thing. They are also employing a lot of Americans. I just don't want to have to pay a membership to be able to get a good price. I have ordered from Amazon.
Yep.
The only time I ever do it is when I know I can get free shipping. And so I would accumulate things. I would never order one thing from them if I have to pay shipping, ever.
Cindy, we've got it. And I'm glad for your call. It is fascinating, Sucharita, how you can hear the tenor of politics coming into American consumer life here in a very tangible way. It's just at the edge, but it's sitting right there in attitudes and predispositions, Sucharita.
Absolutely. And I think that it is the truth. And I think what's being exposed is you can't be all things to all people, no matter how big you are. You know, even Walmart at nearly $500 billion in sales is still only about 15% of U.S. retail. So if there are a lot, and there are a ton of customers like Cindy out there who also feel the same way. And they're the ones that continue to shop at Walmart. They are the ones that continue to help it, continue to be the largest retailer in the country.
One more quick call. Austin, Texas. David, you're on. Thanks for calling.
Hello there, Tom. I just wanted to say that I haven't heard anybody mention Alibaba, the foreign website that supposedly, according to rumors, is larger than all of these guys put together. A lot of people use them, especially for things like vapor and those pipes and things. I'm an aggressive Amazon user. I think Walmart is a little on the low-class side, and I think that's what hurts Walmart a little bit. Also, its selection is poor. On Amazon, you have much larger selection. I am an aggressive Blu-ray hunter. I look for foreign films, Japanese, Italian horror films from the 60s and 70s,
okay,
all of which are very hard to find, and Walmart does not have.
David, I appreciate your call. Yes, Amazon's got 300 million products. Walmart says it'll have 10 million next year. Sir Nassauer, Alibaba, is everybody going to get mobbed in the end by a Chinese competitor coming in from across the sea via digital?
It's possible. Right now, as far as I can tell, they've sort of pulled back on some of their U.S. plans, and so everyone is sort of anxiously waiting to see what they do here. But the number of products that each website offers, I think, is a good key point. That is what online shoppers look for, right? It's this idea that I can go on, I can type in a little search box and find whatever I want, and Walmart.com has not gotten there yet.
Well, watch this space. Walmart spending $2 billion in the next year on this competition, opening 4 new centers for filling orders, each the size of, count them, 20 football fields. 2,500 staff members at their e-commerce team now in San Bruno, California. Going to be plenty of interesting competition, and of course, driving it all, technology and Americans and the way they want to do things. It's been great talking with all of you. Sucharita Malparu with Forrester Research. Thanks for joining us today, Sucharita.
Thanks so much, Tom.
Sarah Nassauer at The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for joining us, Sarah.
Thank you, Tom.
And Sarah Halzack at The Washington Post, owned by Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon. Thank you, Sarah, for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.